May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After I left university in the mid-80s, I returned home to live with my mum and dad to continue my studies and train as a lawyer. Moving back home at least had the benefit of saving on rent and other living costs, not to mention a much better standard of cooking. So sorry, millennials, but you are not the first generation to have to move back in with mum and dad. Anyway, one evening, taking a break from studying, I joined my parents watching an Irish folk band performing on TV, all sitting down, playing their instruments in a very static, earnest manner, when someone burst onto stage, bobbing around, arms by their side, legs flailing. Now, you have to remember, this was the mid-80s, years before Riverdance. So what on earth is going on? Is someone unwell? Had a wasp flown up their trousers, stinging them, and they were desperately trying to shake it out, you know. Was this planned? Was this meant to happen? It was totally unexpected. But slowly it dawned, to paraphrase Mr. Spock from Star Trek, it's dance, Jim, but not as we know it. So let's imagine what John the Baptist was thinking when, as we heard at the start of our gospel reading this morning, he was in prison. He'd been placed there by King Herod, who didn't much like his fiery preaching, especially when he criticized Herod for marrying his brother's ex-wife. Further, John was proclaiming that God's kingdom was on its way, as was God's true king. Herod was not the true king and would be replaced. And so, surprise, surprise, John ended up in prison. And John proclaimed a gospel of repentance because the kingdom of God was near, baptizing people in water, but warning of the wrath to come, threatening that people, like trees that did not bear fruit, would be felled with axes and thrown in a fire, or being swept up like chaff from the granary floor and again burnt with unquestionable fire. Judgment, damnation, punishment. Fire and brimstone preaching at its most judgmental. And why not? John was familiar with Scripture, what we now know as the Old Testament, full of prophets warning of judgment and damnation for willfully refusing to live as God commanded. John would also have been familiar with the idea of the Messiah from the same Scripture. And so this Messiah, God's true King, would surely continue with this and, more importantly, carry it out to its ultimate conclusion, replacing Herod as ruler, heralding in God's kingdom, Israel's ascendancy, and the restoration of the Jews as God's chosen people. All would be judged, and those found wanting burnt in the fire. John knew he was only preparing the way, heralding the way of the arrival of the Messiah. He had met Jesus, and when Jesus asked John to baptize him, John initially refusing, as he expected to be baptized by Jesus himself. But in the end, John relented, baptized Jesus with water, and he was there when the heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and settled on Jesus, whilst a voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So far, so good. All seemed to be going to plan. But then John was imprisoned, and Jesus began his ministry. And clearly John was hearing about all the things that Jesus was doing and saying. But it didn't sound like the sort of things that John was expecting of a Messiah. Making friends with tax collectors and sinners. As Tom Wright commented, it's almost as if Jesus was rewriting the script, telling a different story. He was not doing what John expected a Messiah to be doing from his reading of the scripture. John was unsure, disappointed even. So we got a message to Jesus through his disciples, a message that posed a question, or perhaps two questions, that reflect our different reactions to Jesus. One was positive. Are you the one who is to come? and one negative? Or are we to wait for another? Jesus did not see himself purely in terms of judgment and punishing with the fire of justice. I mean, this would be part of it, but Jesus also knew from his scripture, so was not making it up completely. If you have a moment and read the Old Testament reading for today later, which is from Isaiah chapter 30, it talks about the reappearance of the glory of God. And to quote a few verses, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This and similar passages in the Old Testament are talking not so much about what happens when there is judgment and condemnation, but more about the restoration that happens after judgment. Restoration that is more about mercy and healing, salvation and recreation. It is against this background and these themes that Jesus gives John's disciples their answer. And it's not a direct, "Yup, it's me, the Messiah, ta-da." Instead, he gives an answer that suggests that they tell John what they had seen and heard: miracles and good news for the poor. So Jesus doesn't really answer the question directly, doesn't provide the certainty that John and his followers, that Israel, and maybe even us today are looking for. Are you the Messiah? Are you what we are expecting? Jesus' answer, mirroring the above extract from Isaiah, shows that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy without necessarily conforming to people's expectations of what that Messiah would be. And Jesus concludes with what is at first sight a strange comment: "And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." And this is a bit unclear as well, but it does demand a reaction to what Jesus is doing. Do we take offence? As we continue our journey through Advent towards Christmas, when we celebrate the arrival of Jesus coming to amongst us and look forward to his second coming, it is a time both to prepare for this, but also to think about what it all means. Our gospel reading returns to the early years of Jesus' ministry, but it is important at this time of Advent by posing the question, are you the one who is to come? So how does it help both our preparation and our reflection? In having the Old Testament firmly in mind, the message from Isaiah about the reappearance of God, as it does also for the appearance of Jesus, is about hope. Even when everything seems hopeless, what we are experiencing now is not the final word on the nature and reliability of God's salvation. As it says in Isaiah, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of faith, fearful heart, be strong, do not fear." But the significance of the Old Testament is more than this idea of hope, of looking to the future and awaiting the arrival of God's kingdom. More than that, it roots our understanding of Jesus in the realities of historical existence, what is recorded in the Old Testament, what happens in our lives today. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and we need to move beyond seeing the Old Testament as being about the God of wrath and the New Testament as being about the God of love, or of dismissing the Old Testament altogether. Although we like simple answers, and at times the message is simple, loving God and loving our neighbour as ourselves, it is also not as simple as we'd like to think. So Advent gives us a chance to wonder about Jesus, just as John did, who he is, what he came to do, how he challenges our expectations, and then what he means to each one of us, not only what he did and continues to do, but how we respond and react to this. And note that, one unsure of who Jesus is, John shows us the way to deal with our own questions or need for understanding. He shows an open-ended attitude of faith, not instantly dismissing Jesus, but asking, "Who are you?" And we too are invited to reflect on who Jesus is, in much the way that Jesus presents the evidence to John without providing a simple yes or no answer. And part of Advent is reflecting on what we, each one of us, know of Jesus from our own experiences, through prayer, through reading scripture, through worship. Bit by bit, putting different parts of the picture in place. Then we too might share in the promised blessing offered to all who take no offence in Jesus. Not like those who try to fit Jesus into their own expectations and may be offended when he doesn't meet those expectations. But instead, let us allow Jesus to offer a different view to challenge our expectations. And only then, to paraphrase Mr. Spock from Star Trek again, can we too declare it's the Messiah, Jim, but not as we think we know him or would like him to be. Amen.